to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Now, let's say that they are ready to dive into establishing their own trust for a variety of reasons. How many trusts are recommended? A trust for every asset?
The more assets one has, the more trusts are recommended, for the simple reason that the old cardinal rule of asset protection is never put all your eggs in one basket. Although the trust is invincible, although the trust is invulnerable, it's bulletproof, it's never been penetrated. At the same time, it would be kind of naive to put everything, if you have millions of dollars of assets and you put all of it, your car, your house, your business, everything into one trust, and something were to happen, anything were to happen to that trust, well, then you've just placed all your assets at risk. It was known back in the early 90s that the Rockefellers had 7,000 of these trusts.
That's crazy.
There was a funny story about a visitor who was at the Rockefellers' house one day, and the visitor got scratched by the cat. And the visitor sued and won. And guess what the settlement was?
What?
The visitor was awarded the cat.
Interesting.
Because it was in a trust. And and the visitor wasn't able to get access to any of the other assets. They were all in separate trusts.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious, and it demonstrates the strength of the trust. Of course, we in this show don't operate that way. We don't believe in that. Obviously, if someone were to visit my house and something were to happen, I would voluntarily do anything I can to help them get healed. I don't want anyone to be harmed through any of my environment or my actions or my influence. Nevertheless, it demonstrates the strength of the trust. And yes, one should have multiple trusts depending on the assets. If one doesn't have very many assets, If one can barely afford a trust, then you can start with one,
sure,
then get two, then get three, and then get four, you know. But yeah, the more assets one has, the more different trusts. If you have multiple real estate properties, multiple cars, multiple bank accounts, it would be good to have a different trust for each one.
Yeah. And so this is only part of the process. The other part is getting the bank account associated with it. And for those of us who have in the past gone down this road, in the old days, that was a bit sticky, a bit challenging to find a bank that would be willing to provide you a bank account associated with this sort of natural trust. How is that happening today?
It has improved. These banks don't typically understand the trust very well, but the benefit of that is that you end up with the best bank. But we don't say that you will find certain banks will always open accounts for these trusts. It doesn't work that way. It works more like, what relationship do you have? Do you know a banker who you've banked with for years and years and years, and they like you and they trust you and you're in good standing with them? That's what happened to my father. He went into Wells Fargo and they didn't understand these trusts, but he already had a relationship with that branch going back decades. And they said, sure, we'll be happy to open it if you're the signatory on it. See?
Exactly.
Other Wells Fargo branches or other employees within the same institution will say, no, we don't understand it. Our legal department doesn't like it, whatever. Sorry, we're not going to open the account. You can say thank you, have a nice day, walk down the street, go to a different branch, and they may say yes. And guess what? The ones that say yes are going to turn out to be your very best banking relationships.
Totally agree.
They're going to turn out to be the nicest people, the nicest branch, the nicest employees to work with, because they understand, or at least they were willing to deal with you. They were willing to go along with it.
Thompson, have you found any particular branches of banks that are more receptive to this than others?
Sometimes, yes. But then they change. We had one, I won't even mention it now because it's not relevant anymore, but
right. It
was a certain branch of a Wells Fargo location that was saying yes consistently. And then that branch manager got transferred elsewhere, and they have a new branch manager now, and we don't have any test yet to say yes or no. So you just get the trust. You will find a bank sooner or later. Hopefully within 1 week, it won't take very long. I will say this, nobody ever has failed to get a bank account open when they wanted to.
Yes, and I agree with that too.
One of these trusts.
I agree.
And you can also get accounts opened at securities brokerages, credit unions. Now, credit unions have a little different criterion. That they usually want you as the signatory to personally have a high credit score.
Interesting.
Regardless of the fact that you're opening the account in the name of a trust, they want a signatory to have a high credit score. So, yeah, different institutions have different criteria, different reasons, different things. Just try it.
Any disadvantage to that, going through a credit union where they're looking at your credit score?
No, not particularly.
Okay. And I know they basically issue an EIN number, which is...
When you get one of these trusts, if you're in the United States and you want a bank account, you would get an EIN for banking purposes only.
Right.
And that is the identification number that the bank uses, but it still does not obligate the trustee to do any tax filing on the trust. In other countries, you would get the equivalent, whatever is the business identification number from your tax agency in that country. In some countries, they will honor the EIN from the United States. I've got a friend in Chile, and he said, they said, well, if you have an EIN from the United States, that'll suffice here.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's actually, I would expect that almost because of the way the financial system has been working throughout the world.
Yeah.
You know, what now, are there any annual fees?
I think no.
Key question.
No, there's no annual fees.
Awesome. So how much better can you get, folks?
Well, a couple of the advantages of our particular one is that, number one, it's written politely. A lot of the Patriot Trusts, a lot of the common law trusts have a lot of anti-government language in them, and that tends to turn off banks.
Sure.
Understandably. Ours don't have that. They don't have, it's not necessary. Why have anti-government language in the trust, you know?
It's all it's going to do is create a red flag.
Exactly. And it's not necessary. Yeah. You don't have to have that in there to protect the assets.
Well, and with Know Your Customer profile going on, you know, you just really want to keep things nice and clean.
It's nice and clean and polite. And the other thing is that it's written in plain, simple language that any high school graduate can understand. It is not written like so many trusts, either statutory or common law, that are complicated, that use lots of legalese, and they have hundreds of pages, and they go on and on and on. And guess what? They do that on purpose. So you then end up having to hire professionals to interpret that for you. Ours are not like that. We've boiled it down to 20, 30 pages, very simple, very strong, but very plain, in plain English. So you do not have to hire professionals. You buy your trust once, you own it for life, or you don't own it. It's usable. It's something there for you to use for life. And you don't end up having to pay ongoing fees for expertise, you know, to interpret it. It's simple. Plain English.
Now, I think one of the hottest topics is all of those out there that are following the dinar, the dong, the Zimbabwe currency. People are waiting with bated breath for something to be shifting in that part of the currency world. For those that are really looking forward to that, how do you recommend they approach the trust?
Again, I don't make financial recommendations of what people should do. I just give information and let people make their own sovereign decisions. But you can, if you wish, ensure that there is no chance of the currency being liable for capital gains tax after the revaluation. Now, there's all kinds of controversy out there as to whether the income tax will even still exist.
Correct.
For those who are hearing this for the first time, there is a global currency reset that is developing behind the scenes. Since Basel III was passed a couple of years ago in Geneva or in Switzerland, Bank of International Settlements in Basel, passed the accord that basically mandated that we move the entire global monetary system from a dark age debt-based system to a golden age asset-based system. And that is in process right now.
Yes, sir.
And the United States has kind of been dragged into it kicking and screaming because the cabal has been trying to use this as their headquarters. But it's happening. Behind the scenes, the Treasury dollar is being prepared to come out public, backed by not just gold, but by a basket of internationally accepted assets. Oil, silver, whatever is agreed upon worldwide. And so with this new monetary system developing, the countries that have had their currencies forcibly devalued, like Vietnam, Iraq, Iran, Indonesia, and so on, are about to restore the true value of their currency. They're selling for pennies on the dollar. You can buy them cheap, and when the revaluation happens, you have a huge return on investment. So if the IRS were still in business after the revaluation goes public, and if they were to individually assess your gain on that so-called investment, again, there's controversy about that because it's not really supposed to be seen as an investment. It's supposed to be seen as a currency exchange. Currency exchanges go on every day. and they're not taxed. But if there were to be an individual assessment on your gain, your capital gains, you would have a huge amount of exposure to income tax. This would disappear if you were to place that currency into the trust prior to the RV. There would then be no chance, because the entity would be exempt. And what we do is provide you a document called the Exchange of Currency to Trust. You say, why do you call it exchange instead of grant or transfer? Because if you give something worth millions of dollars away for free and donate it to the trust, that kind of looks suspicious, doesn't it?
Of course.
But if you exchange it, well, that looks normal. Exchanges go on every day. That's normal commerce. So you might ask, well, what do you exchange it for? What does the trust give you in exchange? It gives you certificates of beneficial interest. It's like shares of stock. Do those beneficial interest units have any monetary value? Yes, but that monetary value cannot be publicly defined. So if the IRS were to say, you received units of beneficial interest in exchange for this currency that you gave the trust, you can say, yes, here they are. And the IRS says, how much are they worth? And you're like, I don't know. I don't know.
That's great.
How can the IRS tax you? There's no publicly available information as to how much those units are worth. So it's non-taxable.
And Tonson, that's the very key. The very crux is there's no available public information. You know, if you want to keep it private, you don't have, you know, we've been so conditioned to think that we have to provide them all of the details of our own financial life.
Right. And you can continue to provide whatever you've been providing if you wish. You will be protected in this because, first of all, the units are not traded on any public exchange. So there's no public information about how much they're worth. And the IRS cannot determine any value. And if they were to try to assess a value, then you'd have to make them prove it. And likewise, they can't tax the trust because the trust is exempt. It has no tax paying or tax filing requirement. Hmm. Now, in order to make that work, it is extremely important to notarize the exchange document prior to the date of the RV. So if the RV were to happen on, say, March 30th, you would want to have your trust document exchange transfer document notarized before the 30th, 29th, 28th, 27th. Why? Because then you could prove that an officer of the public record, a notary, confirmed the date of the transfer, the title transfer of the currency was put into an exempt entity while it was still not worth very much. So then the revaluation and the so-called capital gain occurred while it was in the trust, and the trust is exempt.
Very cool. Wow. I love, you're just doing such a great job with the simplicity of it all, you know?
Thank you.
I mean, that's probably like the biggest thing in all this research I've ever done is, you know, your head just starts swimming with all the complexities of this. I remember going to one seminar, which was a multi-layered trust. Do you remember that? You know, like you had seven layers.
Right.
I mean, is that something you delve into or?
For those with significant assets, we can layer these trusts. You can make one trust, own another trust, and so forth, and it adds additional layers of protection. If someone has millions and millions of dollars in assets, and if that person were involved in risky work, let's say you work for Greenpeace and you're out sailing the ocean to protect the environment and you're getting attacked, you know, let's say you're doing some other kind of social service that is dangerous, it's risky, you know. You may
removing implants.
Removing implants, you know, or hell, how about lately being a natural doctor?
Yeah, that too. That's definitely become a very dangerous thing.
You know, if you're not killed, your assets might be at risk. So, yeah, if you're involved in risky work, you may want to have additional layers of protection.
Crazy. Well, Thompson, tell everybody, how much do your trust costs? Because I thought they were very reasonable.
Oh, it's a one-time lifetime fee of $2,500 US. No other fees, no annual fees, no further expenses, no need to hire professionals. It's not 5,000, it's not 10,000, it's not, you know, but it's enough to pay for our trust writing department to support our clients.
Sure.
You have, with that, unlimited customer service, which is very, very important, because every trust gets personal attention. Every trust gets custom tailoring, one-on-one consultation, one-on-one, you know, customization. Everyone has a little different twist on how they want it set up. And that kind of attention requires professional attention.
Absolutely. And the fact that you don't have the constant annual fees, that's something I'm accustomed to paying. So
right. Unless one wants to hire a professional trustee. We do have an affiliate now who is providing professional trustee services, but that's not necessary if you know someone that you can trust to be the trustee, or if you want to play the role of trustee yourself. And we provide information on our website, and with the purchase of the trust, we provide information on the various trust roles and what their responsibilities and privileges are, and you can decide which role you want to play.
That's what I was just going to ask you. So that is provided to them in an online fashion, correct?
Yes, basically. The information is transmitted that way.
Okay. It's not like a hard copy book or anything like that. It's basically sent to their email.
Yes, and now it's recommended that when you get your trust, you have it both online and printed out and put into a three-ring binder.
Okay.
You know, and keep it in both formats.
And keeping minutes.
Keeping minutes. You're taught, you're given simple templates and a recommendation that every time you do a significant transaction, that it be recorded in a minute, which can be less than one page. Very simple, very easy to administer. If you do have enough funds to hire a secretary, the secretary can take care of it for you. You know, that's up to you.
A secretary? Oh my God, that's a novel thought. What is a secretary? Oh my God, please send me one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I wanted to read this because I really particularly resonated with this paragraph in your paperwork. And it says, years of legal battle are required to make right the scenario. And in the meantime, the assets are long gone, combining the asset protection provisions of the private agreement contract with the asset protection provision of the business trust. And the result is a pure, natural, law, sovereign, private contract trust, a better overall asset protection device than the trust alone. It offers the protection of natural law business trusts under natural law, with the protection of private agreement contract under contract law, combined into one document providing total asset protection. But get this, no judge, no one has jurisdiction over one's right to contract.
Exactly.
Just wanted to read that. Okay. So again, we're going back to make sure you do your homework, folks, on the Hale versus Hunkel. It is there in black and white. We all have the right to be able to pass. It says no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts.
Another important thing to bring up is what happens when one leaves this earth. Let's say you have a trust, and you leave this earth either because you drop the body, or you ascend, or you get on a spaceship, you do whatever, you're no longer available, or you go into retreat. You become unavailable, okay? You check out. and you want the assets in the trust to be passed to your heirs. There is a mechanism by which you can create a successor trustee, or you can have your heirs be beneficiaries. There are different ways that the assets can be conferred upon your heirs. But I'm going to use the example of successor trustee because that's what happened with my father's trust. He passed away in 2008. Instantly, I became the new trustee. There was no probate. There was no death tax.
Wow.
There was no need to go to court. There was no delay. I didn't have to wait one day, one week, one month, or one year. That instant, I became the administrator of the assets in that trust. I walked into the bank. Mm-hmm. I showed the death certificate and my successor trustee document, and they made me signatory on the bank account. The same thing happened when the billionaire Hunt brother passed away. You heard about the two billionaire Hunt brothers in Texas.
Yes.
Well, when he passed away, all they could find in his name was $5,000 in cash and a pickup truck.
I remember the story.
That's because the rest of his assets were in these trusts. His brother, who survived him, instantly, seamlessly received the administration of those assets in his trust because he was successor.
This has just got to be, you know, for all of those folks out there that have, you know, all of these trusts and getting prepared for, you know, if they do pass and, you know, making sure that their estate is passed down to their children, et cetera. This has just got to sound so simple. You know, it's almost too good to be true, you know?
But it's not. It's being lived by hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people around the world, quietly behind the scenes. I just happen to be one of the few people talking about it, but it's being used, it's being done, it's happening, it's been going on for generations. And so it's important for people to understand that the reason we say this is a golden age kind of phenomenon, let's say in the next few years, the time comes when finally the transformation has occurred. There is no more taxation on this planet. There is no more crime. There is no more thievery and so forth. Then why would you need an asset protection instrument? It wouldn't be so necessary for asset protection, but it still would be a very nice asset administration instrument for the distribution of proceeds to various parties.
Right.
And the trust can last forever. It is not going to be overruled. It is not going to be made exempt or extinct. It is not going to, extinct is what I meant to say. It's not going to be made obsolete. It is going to continue generation after generation. The trust is written for a 25-year term because trust in perpetuity is considered a sham in the trust world. It's like I'm holding this asset on behalf of my beneficiaries forever, into infinity, to eternity.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
But if I'm holding these assets for the beneficiaries until sometime in the future at a maximum of 25 years to be optionally renewed at the discretion of the trustees, that makes sense. That's logical. That sounds normal. And so that's how they're written. And in 25 years, if you want to continue it, you just renew it. So, but it's not going to be put out of business by any change in administration. It's not subject to the ever-changing statutes and laws that go on getting replaced every year. It's going to go on due to the intrinsic sovereign right to be able to go into contract with each other. That goes on.
That's fabulous. Wow, you've really done your homework, and I just want everyone to know this is part one of the interview with Tonson Fairmont, and we will now be diving into part two, which is really getting into the nuts and bolts of debt elimination, debt repair, and mortgage refund, note refund, I should say. So, take a big breath. With that said, is there anything else that we have not covered that you feel that's imperative to share regarding the trusts, the House of Freedom Trust that you offer now?
No, that's pretty much it. I think we can revisit the topic if need be, if something else comes up, but that's the essence of it right there.
Perfect. Yeah. So what I'd like to do now is let's talk about those that are really comfortable with using their credit and they have gotten in over their heads and they actually really want to stay within the system and continue using credit cards. You have a credit repair system.
Right. So I would ask the audience, have you ever read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki?
Yeah. It's almost like who hasn't?
He talks about good debt and bad debt, right?
Yes.
So bad debt is debt where you just couldn't help it. You had not enough money. You had hospital bills. You had expenses with your family. You had whatever. You needed a car. You didn't have enough to pay cash for it, so you had to borrow, whatever. So you went into debt. Bad debt is an expense. It is a liability. It is something you owe. You have to pay back. You didn't have enough money to cover it. It's not really producing anything, but perhaps purchased something. Good debt, on the other hand, is debt that multiplies your assets, that improves your overall balance sheet, that raises your net worth. That means it's an investment of some kind that increases your asset column. Okay? So if you are dealing with good debt, then most likely you should continue to play the game. Pay it back. Pay it with interest. Yes, it's funny money. Yes, it's fiat currency. Yes, they didn't loan anything because there was nothing in their accounts. The banking system operates on computer entries. There is no loan ever really made out of any of the major institutions on this planet. Okay? So just get that really clearly. Has anyone read Modern Money Mechanics? Published by the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago. Read it. Modern Money Mechanics. It says right in there, ours is a system of credit. Okay? So the money is funny money. Read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin.
Amazing book.
You can read a more sophisticated book called Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullen.
Yeah,
but that's more a dry academic, philosophical, you know, collegiate kind of book. If you want the same information written in a layman's terms that reads like a mystery story, it's a page turner. You can't put it down. It's so interesting. Read The Creature from Jekyll Island. Jekyll Island is the island off the coast of Georgia where the bankers met in 1910 and hatched the plan for the Federal Reserve to take over the nation's monetary system.
In secret, and they were all cloaked.
All cloaked, all in secrecy. It was the fulfillment of Baron Rothschild's statement from the 1700s, give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws.
Yes.
So it was their plan to take over and take over the government by getting it into debt, and they only took them 20 years. From the passage of the Act in 1913 to 1933, it took them that long, 20 years, to bankrupt the United States government, and the U.S. government filed bankruptcy in 1933. The bankers officially took over publicly from that point on. And so none of the loans that have ever been issued since then have ever been legitimate, because they don't have anything in their accounts. The monies they have in the accounts, they're using for their own benefit.
Well, and Taunton, there's been actually multiple bankruptcies, right?
Multiple bankruptcies.
Dating back to the 1700s.
Right.
Yeah.
And the War of 1812 was fought over this issue and so forth and so on. So it's all got a rich history going back. But for those who are listening today and want to know, how do I get free of this burden? Please understand, the way we are winning, the way you can win, is by confronting them with the fact that nothing came out of their accounts. We provide simple letters
to
send and instructions, and customer service to back you up and walk you through it and hold your hand through the whole process. Simple letters that you send to what we call the pretender lenders and their agents, asking some polite questions. Can you please provide evidence that you didn't take my signature and fund the loan from my signature? In other words, create the money out of thin air. In The Creature from Jekyll Island, he calls it the Mandrake mechanism.
Yes. Okay?
So you ask some simple questions in this letter. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to compose or do research. We don't ask you to go and study lots of things. The books I'm recommending are just for your general education, but it's not required to make this work. It'll work whether you understand it or not. It's like turning a light switch. You don't have to necessarily know how electricity works in the wall. If you just flip the switch, the light will come on. It's a mechanism, okay?
That's a great analogy.
You stumble into this, kind of bumbling your way through and just follow our simple ABC instructions to send the letters, and it will work just as well as the people who master it and understand it.
Tonson, I want to interject something too, and that is, I want everybody to be clear. He offers debt repair if you want to stay with your credit cards, and he also offers debt elimination.
I think now, you mean credit repair, which actually...
Credit repair, I'm sorry, credit repair.
We are calling it credit restoration.
Restoration.
We've been corrected. Our credit department said, please don't use the word repair. That's some sort of a license banks have over that word. So we call it credit restoration, right?
Okay, the credit restoration, which basically removes most of the blemishes on your credit report. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because according to this, you remove collections, charge-offs, repossessions, tax liens, judgments, bankruptcies, and it can be as fast as 30 to 60 days.
Yes. I think we're closer to all. We were saying most. We're pretty close to all blemishes, negative marks on your credit report now.
Fantastic.
We have some new expertise in our credit department now. And yes, basically any negative mark on your credit report can be removed. So if you wish to use credit, if you need to use credit, and hopefully you are using it for good debt, you can employ our credit restoration service, and it will remove those negatives from your report.
And that is only $450?
No, debt cancellation is $450.
Credit restoration is?
That is $1,250 one time with 1 year of guaranteed service. It has a money-back guarantee on it. Yes.
Good. Okay. So I thought
We have a greater success level and a greater level of expertise than the inexpensive cheap ones out there.
Well, especially the fact that you can remove judgments and bankruptcies. Those are
judgments, tax liens, bankruptcies. A lot of the other credit restoration repair people out there don't know how to remove those things.
That's fantastic. And is it once again like a letter writing campaign type?
No, this is not a do-it-yourself. This is a done-for-you service.
No wonder it's more money. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, well, on to the biggie that everybody's really wanting to hear about, and that is just eliminating your debt altogether. And
right.
So you've already kind of talked a little bit about that. I think the first of all, it's only $450. To me, that was just amazing.
There are two categories of debt. One is secured and the other is unsecured. The $450 applies to unsecured, meaning it is a signature loan or it's a credit card or a student loan, that sort of thing. Okay?
Okay.
The secured debt, we also are able to handle. That means mortgages, car loans. However, we have no single price on that. That is a case-by-case basis kind of thing. So just inquire with us about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about the unsecured debt.
All right.
Okay. So let's say they purchase this. First of all, how long does it take before they can get started?
Before they can get started?
You know, writing the letters and, you know, getting it in process.
Immediately upon purchase. I mean, the same day, basically. Now, the first thing to say is this is only for United States, okay? So with all our love to our wonderful friends in other countries, we're still working on it. We don't have it available outside the United States yet.
But you did have a really cool strategy that I read, which is if they have a credit card in a foreign country and they transfer it to a United States credit card, then they can proceed.
Yes. Let's say you have $10,000 in debt in England or Germany or Japan or Australia on a bank card in that country. If you were somehow able to come to the United States, open up a line of credit here, they do balance transfers all the time. They love that. Banks love balance transfers. They love to take on debt from other institutions, even from other countries. Okay? So you do the balance transfer it to a United States institution, then our system will apply to it here.
That's outstanding. Now, tell us a little bit about what is the general lead time for how long it takes for the banks to respond appropriately and say, okay, yeah, we're going to let you off the hook.
Basically, it runs anywhere from 3 months to a year, and it varies all across the board from customer to customer, from institution to institution, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason in it. It doesn't seem to have any applicability to how much debt there is. It just seems to vary. And you don't always get acknowledgement. So that's important for the people to realize. You don't necessarily get a document that says, okay, your debt is hereby canceled. Sometimes those documents come. We've posted some of them on the website. We call them victory letters. But you don't always get that. What usually happens, because they're not willing to usually admit this in writing, is they'll just quietly go away.
Interesting. Yeah. And also, what about student loans? Because I hear that. That's just a hot topic right now.
We have had the same success with getting rid of student loans as we've had with credit cards. For the simple reason that it's the same mandrake mechanism. We send the same letters to the Department of Education and its agencies and funders and so forth, asking them the same polite questions, you know, can you show me this? Can you show me that? Sign this affidavit enclosed under penalty of perjury that you actually loaned these funds, that they came out of your accounts, that you complied with these laws, and that you're in harmony with the Truth in Lending Act and Federal Credit Protection Act, the Reporting Act, all these different laws, right? Not once in 14 years has any of these institutions, whether it's student loans or credit card institutions, not once have they ever been able to prove any of these things. That's why they go away. You heard the old story of David and Goliath in the Bible, where this giant is, you know, going around killing people and he seems to be undefeatable and David's just this little guy. Right. You know the story?
Yes.
How did he kill him? He killed him with a slingshot.
Yeah, slingshot.
And the rock hit a certain spot on his forehead. That is precisely how we are bringing down the old cartel's banking system.
Mm.
We're hitting that spot on the forehead. We're confronting them with the fact that nothing came out of their accounts. They are not at risk. They have put nothing at risk. They are out nothing. They gave nothing. Now, people may ask, wait a minute, I bought something. I received good merchandise for that. Or I received a good service from the auto garage and I paid for it with my credit card. I should legitimately owe that debt. I appreciate your ethics in saying that. You're absolutely right. You should. And the merchant did get paid, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so glad you brought this up. That was my next question. So
you spent $1,000 to have your car repaired, or you went to the dentist, or you bought some groceries, or you bought some gas at the gas station, and that product or that service was delivered. The merchant got paid. Where did the money come from?
That's what I was just going to say. Can we review the mandrake mechanism? Because I really believe that's important. So people can really align their ethics and morals and values with debt elimination.
The banks are members of the Federal Reserve System if they are operating publicly and have a license to operate. And if they have the right to issue a Visa card, a Discover card, a MasterCard, they are in the Federal Reserve System. Federal Reserve System creates money out of thin air. That's what the Mandrake mechanism is. Okay?
Yes.
It does not have reserves of gold and back it with, you know, every dollar issued with gold, and it's not a representative of actual value. It is a computer entry. So when a bank, and the same thing goes on with mortgages, okay? When a bank sends you a card with $10,000 on it, nothing came out of their accounts. It's not like they had $1 million and they loaned you $10,000 of that, and they would be out that $10,000 if you don't pay it back. So, make it real simple. Imagine three parties: you, the merchant, and the bank. Okay, you go to the merchant, you buy a product or a service, you pay for it with your credit card. All is well so far. You got some product or service, the merchant got the money, all is well. The problem is that the cabal, operating from the Vatican, operating from the City of London, operating from Wall Street, from the Federal Reserve, has its tentacles down through the banking system, issued that card. It's like the International Mafia Crime Syndicate inserts itself into the middle of your transaction and says, pay up or else. It's like they're pointing a gun to your head and saying, pay up or else. We want our cut of that transaction. That's essentially what's happening, because they produced nothing. Nothing came out of their accounts. They have not loaned anything. All they did was put computer entries into the bank account and put a card out. I know it's really hard for people to understand and comprehend, and that's why if you really want to understand it, read books like The Creature from Jekyll Island. That will help you understand. But the simple matter is, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, you will see for yourself. You don't have to believe me. Try it. All you have to do is get our letters, send them to the pretender lenders, and see what happens. Not once have they ever, ever, ever been able to answer the questions that we are asking in those letters. And that's why the debt goes away, because it didn't exist in the first place.
Exactly. And it's basically because our financial system is illusionary.
It has been. It's changing.
Yeah.
And a new one is forthcoming, but it has been illusionary. It's been a big magic trick, a kind of sleight of hand.
The key is that they cannot show any deduction of that actual charge within the credit card transaction that you made. They cannot show any back-end deductions or so on and so forth within the Federal Reserve itself, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So let's say you were to take them to court over this. You could subpoena the records from the bank and say, show me where you had this much money the day before you loaned me the so-called loan, and show me, okay, after you loaned me that money, how your account went down by that much. They've never, ever, ever, ever been able to produce that. You would think if this were legitimate, if this were an actual loan, a hard money loan, like your mother loaned you some money, she can show, oh yeah, I had 10,000 and now I only have 9,000 because I loaned you 1,000, right?
Right, it's tangible.
That's real, it's genuine, it's honest, it's ethical, it's legal.
Yes.
If the bank were operating that way, don't you think they would be answering our letters? Why, Miss Alexandra, yes, we'll be very happy to answer that. Here's our records and here's the evidence, and yes, you still owe it, and here's why.
And here we are asking for open disclosure about extraterrestrials This is no different.
It's no different. It's open disclosure.
Open disclosure.
Right.
Big time. So generally, you know, just in the process, what is the general lead time where people start seeing the debt get eliminated?
Some people have seen it disappear from their credit reports within a month, 2 months. Wow. That's at the earliest. And some people have had to take a year and a half. Now, you'll see on our website a guy who did a student loan. He started in 2014. It took him 14 months, and he followed our system to the letter. And he said it was difficult. It was very difficult. Now, our system is much stronger now than it was in 2014 because, like I said, we've had many new allies join us, a lot of greater expertise. We now have new people on our team. And Alexander, I'm still in a learning process myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I said that too. The financial system, Thompson, it's changing every second of the day legally.
We are in a process of improving our 100% success rate by making it faster, by protecting one's credit score better than we used to. And we have someone on our team now who says she has a way to get awards for damages. And she could even get the opposing counsel to beg for a settlement.
That is so cool.
So we're on our way to even getting stronger and better than we used to. But this guy started in 2014 using our older system that was not as strong as the one we have today. And he stuck with it. He said the Department of Education and its agents wrote back to him, basically threatening him and saying, you still owe it and we disagree with your letter. And he followed our instructions to keep sending it, keep sending it, keep sending it. It's like rinse and repeat, you know, like washing your hair, you know, just keep repeating it. Thank you for what you've sent us, but you still didn't answer our questions. Here it is again. You just keep sending the same letter over and over, over and over. And 14 months went by. And he had the nerves to stick with it. He finally got his victory. They gave up.
I'm just still shaking my head about the student loans because I've heard from so many that they're just real sticklers.
Yes, because they don't have as many consumer protection laws protecting them as credit card customers do.
Okay.
However, please do not fear using our system to defeat a student loan. You may have heard about the recent news where SWAT teams went in and arrested students that hadn't paid their student loans. Well, that's just a fear tactic. I challenge them to arrest one of the people who have used our system. I can just see it now. They come into court and they say to the judge, well, Your Honor, I sent these letters and they haven't answered them and I was willing to pay the loan. But I haven't got their answers as to the legitimacy of the loan.
Well,
dismissed, case dismissed.
I was going to say, and that example is a classic representation of Ike's problem reaction solution. They saw the problem that people are starting to not pay their student loans. Then they provided a reaction. You know, okay, so what is the reaction? They want to build the fear around it. We're going to have to take some sort of recourse and really get these people scared that they're going to have other things taken away from them. You know, and then their solution is, oh, we're going to send out this letter and just do this fear porn thing. And we have to start looking at these types of news reports as reactionary to us.
Exactly.
That's what's so cool about it. That shows me how much of a breakthrough that we're having with the light.
Yes. And I want the listeners to clearly understand that you will be benefiting not just yourself by getting free of the credit card debts and the student loan debts. You will be also improving the economy of the country. Why? Because you will stop paying that tribute to the International Crime Syndicate and you will be spreading education. Guess what? Not just to the bank and its executives, its hierarchy, but also the bank's employees. And heaven forbid, if you should ever be one of the very tiny minority who have to go to court, by the way, we do support you Also in court, we have a formidable legal team to help you, but that's extremely rare. We have about a half of 1% of our people who have to go to court over this, okay? So 99.5% of our customers get their debts eliminated administratively without ever having to go to court.
Thompson, are you talking thousands of clients? I mean,
yes.
You know, okay.
Yes. Yes. So you will be contributing to the economy by the simple fact of redirecting funds that were otherwise going to the crime syndicate. Now they're going to pay your mortgage, or they're going to put food on your table. They're going for education. You're using those funds to help your health, buy health supplements, go to a health retreat, heal yourself, go to a meditation retreat, grow spiritually, send your children to college, buy a new car, improve your house. Do something with that money that's life-supporting,
yes,
rather than giving it to the International Crime Syndicate.
Instead of sucking the vitality out of you. And you say that these forms are just really simple. It only takes like 20 to 30 minutes to fill them out, right?
Right. Well, it's just letters. You need to have a computer or access to a computer. If you don't have one, then get a friend who has one. And Microsoft Word, preferably software, okay? Because we provide templates for you to customize. The letters are already written for you. All you have to do is put in your account number, your name, you know, everywhere where it's in red. We even provide, Alexandra, we have people who, some people don't know how to use Microsoft Word. Some people who do, but they don't know how to change the font color.
Mm-hmm.
So we even provide instructions on how to change the font color.
God.
Okay.
That's awesome.
There are sections of the letter that are in red. The red part is what you customize. That's where you put your name, the name of the institution, the account number, the amount of the alleged debt, so forth and so on. And then when you're done, you save it in your computer, and then you change the color to black for the whole thing, and you save it. You print it out, send it certified mail restricted delivery. Restricted delivery to the CFO of the institution. The chief financial officer. You send it certified mail restricted delivery, meaning nobody else but him can sign for it.
Interesting. This is bringing back memories for me. Now, mm-hmm. You also said that this will carry out over time. So if they buy this once, will they be able to use it? Let's say yes. They need it down the road.
For the rest of your life on an unlimited number of debts, no limit.
And what about Sallie Mae loans?
Now we're talking secured debts. You want to change topics to that?
Yeah, unless there's anything else about the unsecured. I'm just trying to go over some of the basics of unsecured debt.
Well, for the listeners, if you have questions that we have not answered, on our website, at the top it says Help Desk. Just click on Help Desk, send your question, and we'll send you an answer, okay? Alexandra will try to anticipate as many questions as possible. I will as well. But basically, that's the gist of it. And if you're ready, we can switch to...
Sure. I think they've got the gist of it. So now this is the biggie, in my opinion, and I kind of saved the best for last, and that is the mortgage note refund program and the secured debt elimination.
So. Right. So you're basically talking two things. One is the cancellation of the debt, and the other is the refund of the note. And the cancellation of the debt operates on the same basis as the unsecured debts, except that they police that with a lot more force and a lot more might. Okay? So the cabal system has its tentacles in the real estate and in the secured debt mortgage field a lot more deeply because they went after those assets, you know, with all their resources. And so it has been a little more challenging. Nevertheless, after I have been watching this for, again, 14 years, finally, we have arrived at a series of strategies that have very high success rates. I won't necessarily say 100%, but I'll say very close to 100%, very high success rates. But this is more customized. It's more individually tailored. The strategy and the price will vary from case to case, from person to person, from client to client. So just inquire with us. But the note refund program is not the cancellation of the mortgage. You would continue to pay the mortgage, but you will get a refund of the amount of the note, the promissory note, because that note, when it was issued, was placed with the Treasury. And it's been sitting there unclaimed all this time.
Interesting.
There is a certain procedure through the IRS whereby a certain kind of IRS filing can be done that will result in a refund of that money. And the fee for that is either $3,500 up front and 25% on the back end, or nothing up front and 35% on the back end.
Okay. Wow. And so these are relatively new strategies. I mean, how long have you been diving into the mortgage refund program?
The note refund program is a new offering that just arrived at our company. But the background, all of us who have been studying this issue, you know, collectively decades, we've just arrived finally at a point where we feel we had enough expertise to offer it.
And it says here, it doesn't matter how far back in the past.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
In other words, let's say your home was foreclosed on and you were evicted, or let's say you sold the home or you lost the home or you no longer are in it. The fact that you had a promissory note in the past means that it's still sitting there at the Treasury with your name on it. You can still claim it, and it doesn't matter how long ago it was. Well, let's say a little more reasonably. One question came up on our conference call yesterday, and someone brought up something in the 1970s, and the answer was maybe not. So let's not say it's unlimited, but let's say 10 years, 15 years would be reasonable, you know.
And of course, this is on a individual basis.
Yes.
Right? So you're having to get into the mortgage, the bank. I mean, nothing is the same.
Well, are you saying if the note was written in a corporate name?
Well, no, not necessarily. It's not a cookie cutter process like credit, debt elimination for unsecured.
Yes, no, it is a done for you service. Okay. You have to submit certain documents, but it is done for you. It is cookie cutter in that respect.
Well, that's cool. And what about, I mean, where do you find the most difficult snags?
Not really aware of any.
Really?
Not with that, no. It's pretty straightforward.
I think the big question everybody's going to ask you right out the gate is that this is so hyped out there. And a lot of people have put money into programs and they never got anywhere. Can you address that?
That's why we offer the option of no money up front for the mortgage note refund program.
Okay.
For those who are skeptical or who don't have the money, okay, fine. You just apply. You don't give us any money at all. We'll take 35% on the back end. When the note is issued, the refund is issued, we want 35% of whatever that money is.
Brilliant.
So you can go into it believing this is a scam, it won't work, it's no good. Okay, fine, try it. It won't cost you anything. You'll see.
And is it based on the same thing that you're actually proving to them that there was really no exchange of money, true money or assets?
It's a little different principle in this respect because it's just the only thing that's similar about it is that it's hidden. It's information that the system has been doing either for its own interests at the expense of the people, or it's just been keeping it a secret. And so in this case, it is a financial instrument. Your signature on the promissory note is a legal document. It is a financial instrument under the UCC that actually creates money. Now, if that money has never been claimed, then it simply sits there. Yes, the bank has issued funds to its accounts on your behalf. However, it has no right to take your place. So although the bank may have used your signature as well, it cannot and will not and has not ever replaced you. So if you, the originator of that signature, now come forward and claim, they cannot deny it because you're the authenticator of that signature.
That's cool. I mean, isn't this one of the main reasons, Thompson, that they tell you to be so careful in what you sign?
Yes.
Because you're actually initiating a financial instrument?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's just huge. It's something that a lot of people don't know.
Your signature is used every day by the system. Behind the scenes, without your consent, without your knowledge. Yep.
That's crazy. And so, okay, so $3,500 up front and 25% at the back end.
Right.
If and when you're successful with it.
Right.
Or if they don't have the money and they've already gone into foreclosure, you can assist them even at that point. So basically, you can assist them at whatever step of the process they are in.
Right. If you're in the house still and you're current on your mortgage payments and all of that, you have a note on the house, you can apply. Or if the house was long since sold or lost, you can still apply. As long as you had a promissory note on a piece of real estate in the present or in the past, in most cases, I don't know of any cases where you would not qualify. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And then I think the last thing to go over is just your legal team. Can you talk a little bit more about the details of who is surrounding you and, you know, the expertise that you're bringing forward, especially with, I think that's a huge concern when they get into finances is, are they going to be able to get someone on the other end of the line? There's a lot of financial information being put out there. And then when they reach out and they don't understand, they can't get a hold of anyone.
Oh, that's not the case with us. We certainly have a very robust customer service and it's being expanded. We have not posted a phone number so far on our website, but we probably will in the future. Nevertheless, the help desk works very well. And through email, then phone numbers are given when we get into a relationship, especially if someone has purchased one of our products or services, then there's a relationship that has ongoing communication through phone and email and newsletters that go out, ongoing conference calls. There's a lot of communication. So we're very accessible. Our legal team, I absolutely love our legal team. They do not so far consist of bar licensed attorneys, although we would welcome any attorneys. The problem, even for the best attorneys, even for the attorneys that have good intentions, that are of the light, is that by being bar licensed, they generally have not been able to go against the banks without risking losing their license.
Yes.
Whereas the ones we have on our legal team have as much intelligence, perhaps 10 times more knowledge, expertise, skill in how to write legal documents, court documents, strategy, than an attorney would, because an attorney, after all, was trained in a law school that was designed by the system for its own benefit, for the benefit of the vested interests. On the other hand, there are geniuses out there, some of whom have been attorneys in the past, who are on our team, or IRS agents, or CPAs, court clerks, court recorders. They've worked in the legal system. They've been in the system. Now they learn the truth. They're educated. They know how the system works. They understand it, but they live in the light. They want to work for the betterment of mankind. They want to work for the freedom and the liberation of people from debts and taxes and tyranny. And so they use their considerable legal expertise to write documents, create strategy that works, and they don't need to be a member of the bar. They don't need to represent one in court. It's not necessary to have that credential. They only need to have the knowledge, and the knowledge works.
Wow, good point. Well, I noticed here that you assist people with lawsuits from banks, erroneous blemishes on their credit report.
Yes.
If they ignore the Liberty customer letters when they're attempting to do the debt elimination.
Right.
Wow, it looks like you cover a lot of different stuff. And that, how do you charge for additional legal support?
Additional legal support varies from case to case. And actually, my firm, La Verite, does not charge anything. You would deal directly with the legal expert to whom we refer you. And typically, let's say if you're in the lucky 0.5%, okay? You're not in the 99.5% who get your debts canceled administratively. You're in the lucky 1%. All right, you've used our system and they sue you. All right? We will refer you to one of our experts who typically will charge $250 per court filing. And it can generally be settled within one or two or three court filings. Right?
Right.
Get the case dismissed. I myself don't consider myself very skilled when it comes to thinking like a lawyer. But in spite of that, because I do have some writing skills and I have a lot of love for people, I love people, I love our clients, I love our customers, I understand what they're facing. And we had a gentleman in Southern California in his 80s, and just the nicest old gentleman, who had been using our Liberty system to create, you know, cancellation of his credit card debts. And they just were relentless. They just kept writing back to him, "We don't agree. You still owe the debt. You still better pay it." And the poor guy, this went on for over a year. He was one of our most extreme cases. And finally they sued him. And he had very little money.
Aww.
You know? And I was like, "That's it."
Draw the line.
I myself sat down and wrote a demurrer. A demurrer is a motion to dismiss, okay? And we got his case dismissed.
Awesome. So it took that experience to get the job done.
And I'm not even the best court document writer. We have far better people now to assist our people, you know. I'm just saying that even I, not being the best lawyer kind of mind, could write something that got the case dismissed. You know,
fantastic.
I'll never forget the day when he called me up and he told me that his opponents had dismissed it. And he said, "I'm going to take my wife out to celebrate.
Oh,
out to dinner to celebrate tonight."
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great for all of us to be without these shackles? I mean, that truly is what we want, is for all of us to be free of this.
Out from under that burden, yes.
Yeah, and I love, like, you can actually force them to stop calling you. I know that that's an issue.
Oh, yeah, that's another topic. Let's say you start our Liberty Debt Elimination System and you're getting collector calls. Did you know you can make $500 to $1,000 per call?
I heard that from someone else. How is that possible?
Well, we provide that as a free bonus as part of your $450 purchase.
That must have been from Laura.
Yeah, so okay. It comes with it. We don't charge any extra for that. There's a whole set of instructions. It's a zip file, okay? And it comes with our Liberty Debt Elimination System. It's a whole zip file of instructions on if you are getting collector calls, that's good news. It basically means that you have the right, you keep a log of those calls, and you can open a small claims court case and win awards for damages. One guy made $20,000 in 1 month, $500 per call. He says, "I hope they keep calling. I need the money."
Oh, my God. And they do. They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that experience in the past.
Because our letters have instruction in the pretender lender's document. It says, you are to cease telephonic communications. Once they are put on notice and you've sent it certified mail, restricted delivery, to their top management, if they continue after you have notified them, it is illegal. It's against the law.
Oh, that's awesome. Yep. Now, talk to us a little bit about if they go through this avenue and they continue to ignore the requests, is there a certain point at which you just say, you know, I give up, let's just call this one quits, but we'll work on the others? Or do they work as kind of a pack of, you know, financial agencies that, you know, it's almost like if you have one credit card, for example, with Chase, and then you have another one with Diners Club, they all work together and they all like call each other up and say, hey, you know, she's not paying our bill. So even if she's paying yours, you better not accept it.
It's a very good question, but no, we've never in our experience found that they show any evidence of collaborating. If you have started debt elimination on one, no, the others, hey, remember, it's free gravy for them, okay? So let's say you have five cards and you challenge four of them, you keep paying on one of them. That one's going to continue welcoming your payments. They don't care.
You see? Well, and Taunton, educate them on the illegality of the collection agencies.
Oh, that's a lot of fun because basically the pretender lender itself has no defense to our letters, number one. Number two, if they sell it to a collection agency, that means the collection agency bought it for pennies on a dollar. The pretender lender already wrote it off. Now the collection agency has even less laws to rely upon to collect the debt. They mass mail these mailings out trying to collect. It's like junk mail. And in fact, they're called junk debt buyers, you know.
That's right.
And we have attorneys who, and ex-attorneys who hate junk debt buyers and defeat them right and left. And we have even more ammunition to go against them. They have nothing to stand on, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and yet it's so prevalent.
It's very prevalent, but it's a paper tiger. It's very easy to, it's easier than falling off a log to beat them.
That's awesome. And so now at what point does that sort of thing fall off of the report? You know, for example, if you didn't pay your debt and you still have a blemish on your credit report, you know, supposedly they have certain time limits per state. Like I think it's 7 years or that it can be on the report and then it's supposed to drop away.
Well, we actually have been finding that it will drop away within 3 months, 4 months, 5 months in most cases. Wow. If it does not, then you can use our credit restoration service to wipe it off.
Completely.
And we also actually included in the debt elimination system are letters that can be used to threaten the credit reporting agencies. And we confront them with FCRA. Okay, so Federal Credit Reporting Act, and there's also the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and we cite all of these agencies. We also have copies of your correspondence going to each of these agencies, all right? So, yeah, all of this is cited in the letters, and so credit reports are generally able to reflect this sooner or later. There's not been any consistent pattern as to how long it takes. We just are there for you as long as necessary to make sure that it happens correctly.
That's fantastic. I think you've really put together a really good process just from the simple standpoint that there's a lot of information out there and it's really good and it's meaty, but there's a couple of restrictions for so many people that have written into me that they don't have the time to do that much research.
Right.
You know, B, they're scared to death, frankly, to make a move so major to them where they don't have a little bit of hand holding, you know, and C, just, you know, sending in an email and hoping that you're going to get a response.
Oh, this is what I meant to mention. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's one of the agencies that we have the Liberty customers sending copies of their correspondence to. Go and look at their website, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and you'll see that their logo consists of their letters CFPB with a flashlight shining out of the C. What? Flashlight means they're shining a spotlight on the banks. It's banks don't like that. They don't like that flashlight.
I love it. Well, you know, there's been, have you noticed there's a been a lot of bank failures, right? I mean, a lot. I started looking at the statistics of that. I was blown away. How many banks have been closing? Well, wow. I mean, I hope everybody feels that this is a simple presentation of something that a lot of people just kind of, they get dazed when you talk about finances and debt and mortgage and all that. But please do me a favor. We have spoken with Tonson. If you do decide to go this route, please use the link that's associated with this interview. It will be on the screen for you to, you know, basically access. And Tonson knows that we will be working together to hopefully provide you any kind of communication that you need. If you end up coming through Galactic Connection, we will segue you over to the appropriate party as needed. And I can't think of more assistance than, I mean, the only thing that was left, Tonson, that I was going to ask you about, and you've already addressed it, is when are you going to dive into helping people completely get out of the tax situation? So it sounds like you're diving into that next.
It's not always necessary for every individual to, depends on the individual's temperament and orientation, you know. A lot of people are perfectly well aware that the income tax is voluntary, and that the IRS is a criminal agency representing the cabal, and that none of its monies go to the public services. A lot of people are aware of this, and they still go on filing and go on paying because maybe they just live on Social Security and not much more, you know.
Well, fear. They're just fearful because at for so long, the powers that were creating a law that didn't exist by, you know, overstepping their boundaries of the laws that they themselves created.
Yes. Now, I don't know of anyone who is in prison or went to prison because of failing to file their income tax, but I do know of people who were purveying solutions who went to prison, and they beat the IRS multiple times in court and still got sent away because they were helping to liberate thousands of other people. They tend to go after the teachers of these things, you know.
Thank you for saying that. I really, I was trying to stress that earlier, and that is there are so many patriots, and I use patriot not as a derogatory term. These are people that have really put their well-being and their safety on the line for the sake of bringing out the truth for justice and freedom for all. Okay.
One of them is my very good friend from Hawaii, who spent almost 10 years because he had liberated thousands and thousands and thousands, and every one of his clients are still free. They have no income tax, and they never went to jail, and he took on their karma, you know? He went to jail on their behalf.
That's commendable. And is he still feeling like he's good with that?
Yeah, he's been meditating. I taught him meditation.
Awesome.
He's been actually growing spiritually. He gets out next week, and we're going to celebrate that. I've been sending money to him and books in prison. He's been working on spirituality. He's been influencing everybody and bringing light into the prison system.
Interesting timing, Tonson. Isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Really interesting timing that it's next week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was liberating people from the income tax, and the IRS just, I mean, they just pulled out all the stops. And then there's Sherry Jackson. She's an ex-IRS agent. Yeah. She started putting the truth out. They put her in jail briefly for, I think, a year or so. I don't know how long, but she's out. And she's helping people. And the way she does it is she'll okay, you're a taxpayer, you file your tax returns. She'll give you a method whereby you can file, but you will not owe anything. Okay. Also, we have a CPA. All right, some of our debt elimination customers, they cancel their debt. Now the IRS sends them a bill for the canceled debt saying, here's the 1099C. The debt is canceled. You now owe income tax on that because that's considered income. And they come to us and say, oh my God. Now the good news on that is it absolute proof from the Fed itself that our debt elimination system worked. They're showing in writing from the Fed itself that the debt was canceled. Now right. You owe income tax on it. We have a CPA who will help these people not owe any income tax on that.
It's so audacious and it's laughable, but the reason that they continue to do it is because you're still going to have those people out there that don't go out and educate themselves.
Right.
You know, and that's really what this is all about. So Tonson, is there anything else that you feel just, you know, kind of in your core that needs to be discussed to assist people with this kind of information, making the decision, making sure that they go down the right path?
I would say if you have questions, fill out a help desk ticket, send it in to us, keep in touch. But please know that if you utilize these solutions, you will benefit not only yourself and your family and friends, but also society as a whole. Right. We are working for the collective good. We're working for the improvement of the economy, monetarily, financially, economically, politically, and globally. So this will be your contribution to the redirection of funds and of education, awareness, and understanding into something that is more akin to a golden age.
Fantastic. And do you feel that this is the year of the Jubilee?
Oh, it certainly should be, would be, could be, should be, as you know. I mean,
can't predict those dates, can we?
I mean, the Pope himself, you know, for better or worse, whatever he is, if he's good of the light or not, I don't know. But he said last year that he issued a decree that all debts should be forgiven, you know, and all bar licenses are also invalidated. I mean, the Pope has been putting out all kinds of interesting decrees, you know.
Yes, he has. And I have to look at that skeptically.
Skeptically.
I'm always wondering, what is the hidden agenda behind this?
Some sort of hidden agenda, probably, you know. I mean, he comes from the, you know, the Jesuits and all that. But the point is, yes, this should be the year of the Jubilee. I mean, after those SWAT teams started arresting student loan default, yeah, I mean, well, they mounted a campaign in D.C., a march on Washington, D.C., challenging the student loan system.
You have to know that they're hurting. And the other thing is, did it really happen, or was it another false flag?
There you go, an act, you know, a staged Hollywood
performance
that never happened. Right, it's just an act, a play.
I think we, you know, the other part of, think about this too, metaphorically. We keep talking about how we're waiting for ourselves. You know, we're waiting for ourselves to remember who we are.
Yes.
We keep talking about we live in an illusion. We keep talking about we're waking up from our slumber. So when you wake up from your slumber, are you in the same state that you were when you were sleeping?
Nope.
Right. And it just seems like we, by waking up, we literally are seeing the system and how illusory it is.
I sense it's our kind of our obligation. If you think about our friends, the ETs, the angelic hosts, the ascended masters, the higher beings, the higher worlds, they must be looking at this planet with a lot of compassion, perhaps some amusement, because we're in this kind of school, this kindergarten school. They're waiting for us to graduate. And I feel if we're going to graduate, we must throw off debts and taxes. We must throw off this idea that we are subject slaves. rise into our sovereignty, rise into our maturity, and live as free beings.
Totally agree. And Tonson, don't you feel too that we have to be the ones to take action? And this is, in my opinion, there's a lot of different whistleblowers around the world that are taking action when it comes to alternative fuel, when it comes to even political situations, when it comes to, you know, like the university and some of the information that's being distributed in the universities. This is one of the last little societal niches that they've been holding on to with dear life. And I think I blogged, this is just a couple months ago, someone sent over to me that there was a forgiveness of debt for many countries other than the United States. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And look what's happened in Iceland, too.
Yes. So here's the thing. We are in a place, and I got this message a long time ago when I was pushed to develop Galactic Connection. I didn't want to be so high profile. I mean, you know, I was like, I don't really want to do this. You know, at that time, they were saying, but you just have to know your back is covered. You just have to know. And now the time is right. I mean,
what makes it easy for people, Alexandra, to take action is to take it intelligently. And that is why I hope you've noticed that I have only shared a little bit of theory and philosophy. Mm-hmm. I have mostly focused on what works practically in real life.
Yes.
Works. What has a high success rate? What's really producing the positive effects for people? You know,
I agree. And you've also you've shared it in such a way where it's really manageable within their way of thinking. You know, what happens in this type of arena is people just go into total overwhelm, and then they don't move forward at all.
Well, in a way, that's good, because you don't want to move forward as long as the information that one is looking at does not provide a remedy that has a high success rate.
Correct.
There's a lot of theories out there. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of, okay, there's upset. There's disagreement with the system. Most people on the street don't like the system. You know, you don't have to convince the average person that Wall Street is a crime scene or something.
Right.
But very few people know how to address it intelligently in a way that works.
Correct.
That's where we have been very blessed and very fortunate to find the methods that work. And if you have that knowledge, all of a sudden you are empowered, you are encouraged, you are inspired. You can take action with confidence, and you will have the positive result.
I'm just excited. I mean, we really are on the edge here. I mean, everybody feels it. And we've got everything behind us now. You know, we've gotten through some of the toughest patches, and there's a lot of information that's promoting drastic earth changes. There's been a lot of fear around that. And I'm going to say to all of you again, we have the authority from this point. We have full authority of how we want to unfold this planet from becoming a heaven on earth. And that goes for your finances and the way in which you want to start moving forward openly and freely, pulling away from having your job. I hear this a lot from people that write into me. So do your homework. Do yourself a favor. This is something that's a call to all of the star seeds, all of the guardians, all of those out there that are the true trailblazers, because we need you to be completely sovereign and free from the old system. It's kind of like we have our feet in both sandboxes, right?
Seriously? Yes, and let it go on the record that there will not be any severe turbulent earth changes.
I agree.
There will not be a global police state. There will not be a huge banking or economic collapse that will put people out on the street and have nothing on the grocery shelves. All of that are fear tactics. All of that are just rumors. It is not going to happen. The transition is a lot smoother than people would have expected. And the new dispensation that is forming, that is coming, is still going to blow everyone's minds.
And, you know, just to add to that, one of the reasons that it's not happening is because of the work that we've all done.
Yes.
We are the ones that contributed to that because we believed, we intended, we envisioned that our new world didn't have to be crumbling and a whole bunch of death and destruction. And, you know, we didn't believe that that's what has to happen in order for us to receive our divine birthright. And here it is. It's right here. It's right at our doorstep.
So, the Armageddon has already happened.
Yes.
It's already happened. We've already passed through the Armageddon and all of that.
We've gone through the toughest part for sure.
Yes.
I really feel that.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah, no kidding. So, gosh, I had another question for you and I forgot, and it was important. Anyway, well, Tonson, I just want everybody to know, as you know, I've put out the Galactic Connection site for 4 years now. It's been free. It costs a lot of money, and because we've been very, very severely attacked, it costs even more money. So one of the things Tonson does offer is an affiliate program. So I want to be completely transparent on this. And if you do decide to do this, please benefit Galactic Connection. The link, again, will be on your video screen, and it will also be on the blog post.
Or you can go to your Galactic Connection site and find your links there, right?
That's right. That's right.
And yes, we have a affiliate system for those out there who would like to refer people to us for our products and services. There are commissions sent out twice a month, and especially if you like to use the internet, social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, if you have your own website, you want to put our banners and links, we have a very robust system. So, yes. And it's a two-tier system, meaning that if you join under Galactic Connection, your commissions will go to you as the main affiliate, and Galactic Connection will get an override for every sale you make. So we all work together. It's a win-win-win situation.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, thank you, Tonson. You're awesome. I love the fact that you're involved in something that's so, I don't know, it's just difficult for a lot of people to dive into the financial sector and not get a bad taste in their mouth. And really injecting it with such a spiritual essence. And that's really where we need to go. We really need to work through all of these triggers that we have around money and debt and enslavement and things like this. And we are the ones that are to do it. So I want to thank everybody for staying tuned. If this resonates with you, please check it out. It's resonating with me. And I would also like to pass on, we still are working on phase 5. But we did launch phase 4, which is the Guardian Protection Initiation. I want to pass on a little piece of information. I had mine done several weeks ago, and I received a call from a friend of mine who checks me for DARPA chips and couldn't find any for the last couple of weeks and wanted to suddenly very interested. What are you doing? How are you doing that? So it is working. It's very effective. Please check it out. It's definitely beneficial for all the guardians out there. And with that said, I want to just tell everybody how much I love you guys. I, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate all you do. And just know that we're here to support you, Tonson and me, in whatever direction and whatever path you go.
My love to all the listeners and viewers as well. I sense, Alexander, the same thing you do, that these are, by the very fact of making it through a difficult conversation like this, and listening to an interview where we cover the, you know, the challenges. Thank you to everyone out there who has already been contributing in your own way, your form of light, and considering these concepts.
Yeah, thank you. And don't forget to check out our world-renowned implant removal process. It is very awesome. It's another key to your sovereignty. And with that, I will bid everyone adieu. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.